Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast on RadioMD, iHeart, or wherever you downloaded us from. Thanks very much for doing that. 50,000 of you a week can't all be wrong, so thank you. Do tell your friends about us, and do rate us weekly. The B segments, which this is 1046B, are always guests, and we have another exciting guest for you, someone who's doing something that I never expected at the pandemic or during the pandemic, but we'll get to that in a second. She's a fourth-generation journalist who's worked at and written for a variety of wellness and of travel publications, both together and separately, if you will, and we'll get to that in a second, too. So, Annie, thank you very much. Remember, we are brought to you by Persona Nutrition. We'll talk about that later as well. The website is her name, ANNIEDALY.com, but you can also get her book, Destination Wellness, Global Secrets for Better Living Wherever You Are, which is published by Chronicle Prism. It's on Amazon and B&N, or hopefully at your local independent bookstore. Annie, tell us how you got into this field.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I am so pumped to be here. And I got into this field, well, I got into journalism in particular because it runs in my family. I'm a fourth generation journalist, so it's sort of in my blood. And the book in particular, I got the idea for it because I was working on staff as an editor at a wellness publication. And as part of that job, I was just getting sent tons and tons of these quote-unquote wellness products. And I sort of just became disillusioned with the idea that wellness is something you can buy, because I'm really always convinced that it comes from within. And so I decided to head out on this journey around the world. I went to 6 places: Jamaica, Hawaii, India, Brazil, Japan, and, oh, Norway. And I interviewed experts and locals all along.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Norway most prominently, so don't forget that one.
Oh, okay. I love to talk about Norway. But yeah, I interview people in all of these places about the well-being practices and philosophies that define their lives.
And in the United States, there is this wellness is at a spa. You do it on a weekend rather than live it every day. Obviously, as the chief wellness, you probably don't know, I'm chief wellness officer at the Cleveland Clinic, or was for 10 years, and I'm now emeritus here. And it is something we try and get in, and at least 70-some percent of our employees and dependents are in our program that has outcome basis, so outcome like body mass index, blood pressure, LDL cholesterol, et cetera. And obviously wellness is something they live and is lived every day. But as you point out, there are many products. In other countries, are there many products also being sold? I'm always impressed with the number of spas in other countries. So I figured there are just as many products sold in Europe and the Far East and even the Mideast as there are here.
Right. There are. It's not so much the number of spas. It's actually just the amount that Americans spend. There is a statistic that America is the number one wellness nation in the entire world. This comes from the Global Wellness Institute. And what that means is that we, as a country, we spend the most on wellness. And so that is a combination of products and spas and all of these things. But the industry itself is the biggest here. And by the way, I just want to clarify for all of your listeners that it's not like I'm anti these products. It's just that I realize that these products, you know, they're like a band-aid. They're self-soothing. They can help in the moment. But I personally believe that wellness is goes deeper than that. And it's about connecting to your core and hanging out with your friends, hanging out in nature, all of these things that money can't really buy.
So I wanted to, I know you, it's Brazil, India, Japan, Hawaii, Norway, and Jamaica that are covered extensively in the book Destination Wellness. And you can find out, as we said, more about Annie Daly by going to anniedaly.com, A-N-N-I-E-D-A-L-Y. So Annie, I wanted to talk to you about Norway and what you find different about Norway, and tell us about saunas, because sauna is big in Norway and has a remarkable wellness benefit. So talk to us about that.
Totally. So basically, just to sum up how I went about writing the book, I chose a specific philosophy to focus on in each place. And in Norway, the cultural philosophy I focused on is called Friluftsliv. It's spelled Friluftsliv. And basically, it translates to the free air life. And what that means is Norwegians ultimately go out of their way to spend as much time of their days outside as possible. They love to tell you that there's no bad weather, only bad clothing. And what that means is gear up. Like if it's raining, if it's snowing, if it's cold, it doesn't matter to them. They just put on the proper gear and continue to be outside. This one woman I interviewed, she told me that it's all about chasing that rosy glow in your cheeks. So it's like when you feel invigorated and alive outside, that's true wellness and ultimate well-being. And saunas are definitely a big part of that, but that's actually not as much what I focused on in the book. What I focused on more was just this idea of trying to find your well-being from spending as much time outside as humanly possible.
So did you find that, was that what we call reframing? That is, when you have a stressful life event, you reframe it into something positive. Was that what they were doing, or was there something much different than that?
Yeah, I think that Friluftsliv in general, it applies to two separate circumstances in your daily life. The first one is more of your day-to-day life in the city or suburb or wherever it is that you live. That's ultimately just about trying to get outside, whether that's running your errands by walking instead of driving, or having a picnic in the park with your friends to meet up for dinner instead of going to a restaurant. Just little things like that in order to spend more time outside throughout the day. But the other aspect of Friluftsliv, which is not so much about reframing, but about making a point to get outside into deep nature, is this idea that it's also important to go out for a few days, for, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 days, like away from urban lights, away from everything that defines your daily life, and to just get outside and breathe in the air and let the air work its magic on you. And one part of that that's really important is that they're really not into this idea of gear. Like, when you think of camping in the US, you know, we love to bring all of our music and tons of food and all of these extras. But I went on a camping trip in Norway with a school that studies Friluftsliv, and the professor who led the trip, he had a rule, which was no music in nature. And it's all about this idea that Mother Nature is providing everything that you need. You just have to simplify and pare down enough to actually listen to what she has to say.
And how does that, in other words, you went to a number of countries and you keep doing this. How does that differ for example, Brazil? What's the wellness focus in Brazil? And when we get through with that, I'd like to just say, how do you put all of these together? Because you obviously synthesize in your own life.
Totally. So starting with Brazil, the main philosophy that I focused on there was just this idea that your community is your ultimate key to well-being. So the difference between the US and Brazil is that in the US, we tend to associate wellness with ourselves. It's like this solitary pursuit, an individual matter. You know, if we're eating the right foods, if we're properly exercising, we are considered healthy by societal standards. Whereas in Brazil, that's really not the case. I interviewed this cultural professor who told me that wellness in Brazil really is a group effort, and that if some member of your family, whether it's an extended uncle or cousin or friend, anyone, if anybody is not well, then you are not well either. And that's a really beautiful sentiment, and one that is so different from how we think in the US. And so to answer your second question then about how we weave all of these lessons together, I think it's ultimately about recognizing that there are just other ways to think of wellness. And it is all about, as you said, reframing our mindset and, you know, looking to Brazil, thinking of wellness as a community effort instead of an individual one. Looking to Norway and thinking of wellness as the simple act of just walking outside instead of spending all of our time indoors. So it's really about pulling these, they're more deeply ingrained cultural philosophies and applying them to our life at home rather than trying to buy something from each place.
Now, one of the other places fascinates me, which is Japan. How does Japan handle this? And how do you weave that also into your life at the same time? So you can see a community outside that doesn't take any gear with it. Could be the combination of Norway and going with friends, Brazil. How does Japan weave that?
Definitely. So first things first, Japan has a ton of wellness philosophies. I just want to make that abundantly clear. They are known for so many things. One of my favorites is Ikigai, which is having a sense of purpose. And the fact that, you know, knowing what you're put on this earth for is one of the keys to well-being. They have a lot of these philosophies ingrained in their culture. But the one that I focused on particularly in the book is called Ichigo Ichie. It's spelled Ichigo Ichie. And what that translates to is one life, one moment, or once in a lifetime. And basically, to bring it back to comparing it to the US again, what most people think of when they hear that philosophy is the, do you know the US phrase YOLO, you only live once? So in the US, we tend to apply this idea of YOLO to these big massive events like YOLO, I'm going to go skydiving, or YOLO, I'm going on this huge adventure and quitting my job and, you know, just uprooting my life in a massive way. Whereas the idea of one moment, once in a lifetime in Japan, it's a lot more subtle, and it's truly about honoring these day-to-day interactions that we have with everyone in our life, whether it's our friends and family and even those on the periphery, like the coffee barista who, you know, gives you your coffee in the morning at your local coffee shop, your mailman, your cleaners, these people who are sort of woven into our life on the peripheral. So the idea of this concept actually dates back to Japanese tea ceremonies, which are rooted in Zen Buddhism. And ultimately, the idea here is that Zen Buddhists believe that everything is impermanent and, you know, nothing is guaranteed. And so this basic philosophy is based on the idea that you can talk to your coffee barista today, but it's not guaranteed that you'll talk to them tomorrow. And if you do, you certainly won't be talking to them as you are in this moment, right here, right now, today. So this whole idea that we should honor these interactions is what many Japanese people associate with wellness because it really helps them stay in the present moment.
You can see why reading this book can get you pumped up. Destination Wellness by Annie Daly, ANNIEDALY.com is the website where she has many of her journalistic, what I would call triumphs, great articles. This book is sensational. And you can hear the joy at which she shares this knowledge with all of us. So thank you, Annie, for doing that, sharing it with us. And
of course,
thank you, our listeners. Justin, thank you for engineering. And as I said, especially thank you, the listener, for downloading us and making this so much fun. This is 1046B. AnnieDaly.com, Annie Daly, author of Destination Wellness, Global Secrets for Better Living, wherever you are. And as they say in Norway, enjoy the outdoors. I love the phrase, there is no bad weather, only bad clothing. Thanks very much. We'll be back next week with another great guest. And, of course, the A segments are the new medical news of the week and what it means to you. Thanks again.